Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. In today's text, a scribe asked Jesus what the most important commandment was. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, and he explained that the essence of all of God's commandments is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Jesus answered, "The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." It is important to understand that all the commandments given by God, whether they are considered great or small, serve the purpose of helping us to know Him, love Him, and love others. There is no greater commandment than these, and in both the Old and New Testament. Therefore, it is essential to keep in mind that it is pointless to follow the commandments without having a proper relationship with God and loving Him. On the other hand, breaking even one commandment, no matter how small, means breaking them all. This is because every commandment is linked to the ultimate goal of not ignoring God, maintaining a strong relationship with Him, and loving Him. What God desires from us is not blind enthusiasm, but a genuine understanding and love for Him. Our primary issue is not a lack of zeal, but rather our ignorance of God and our failure to love Him. This is the fallen condition of sinners, which Jesus came to redeem and rescue us from. Jesus provided salvation from all sins and granted us a new heart to comprehend and love God. His ultimate purpose was to rescue us so that we may lead a life of obedience that stems from that love. What God desires from us is to have love and obedience towards Him through proper relationships and fellowship. Jesus came to restore that relationship and fellowship, even to the point of shedding His blood, dying to achieve our salvation and restore our relationship and fellowship with God. These restored relationships and fellowship are the reality of heaven accomplished by Jesus and the people who live there. That reality is to love God and live according to His pleasing will, loving our neighbors and our brothers. That is the essence of all the laws given by God. Above all, God first loved us and saved us by sacrificing Jesus and making us His sons. Therefore, we know God's love for us and we live as joyful sons who love and obey God through faith. Heaven is a place where we live and love God perfectly. We have been commanded to love forever in heaven. The life of heaven has already begun within us, and we will be perfected in the life of Jesus. Jesus loved God with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength, and He loved us perfectly as Himself. God calls us and perfects us into the life of Jesus. Therefore, through the gospel, we must understand the love of God and Jesus. By loving Him, we must love our neighbors and live according to His pleasing will. Last Sunday, we talked about the commandments of loving God, but today we will focus on the commandments of loving our neighbors and brothers. In today's text, Jesus teaches us that loving God means loving our neighbors as ourselves. In the New Testament, Jesus gives us a new commandment, to love our brothers as we love Him. Love for God is connected to love for Jesus, and love for our neighbors is connected to the love for our brothers, and all of these are given as a single commandment. In the Old Testament, the commandment to love one's neighbor mainly refer to those who lived in Israel or joined the community of Israel and were part of the church at that time. Even now, loving our neighbors is first connected to the church and refers to those whom Jesus saved, making them our brothers and sisters. Of course, we should also share the gospel with those who are outside of the church or non-believers and testify of Jesus' love. However, God instructs us to first look after the families of believers. Therefore, Jesus gives us this new commandment to love our brothers with brotherly love. But what does it mean to love our brothers as ourselves? Since Jesus called us to be a member of his body and loves us as a member of his body as himself, he tells us to love our brothers with his love. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus teaches us to love our brothers and explains that the whole law is fulfilled by loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. This means that the love of neighbors and brothers are the same commandment. To fulfill all the laws and keep God's commandments, we must show our love for God through our love for our neighbors and brothers. Jesus fulfilled all of these commandments on the cross, and as saved believers, we are given them as the principles of life in heaven. Ultimately, we testify to the love of Jesus and the grace of salvation that we have received by loving Jesus and our brothers. Several passages in the Bible teaches us that the love of God and love for brothers cannot be separated and are one commandment. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Therefore, the commandment to love our neighbors is ultimately a commandment to love God. The love of our neighbors is evidence of God's love, and this love is ultimately the love of Jesus on the cross. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. No one hates their body, which is essentially the same as hating themselves, but instead continues to cherish and care for it. In the same way, Jesus loves and cherishes his body, which is the church, along with its members, just as he loves himself. Similarly, we are also instructed to love one another as we love ourselves, because Jesus has united us as one body. However, upon reflection, we often realize that we tend to love others only for our own benefit and not with the same selfless love that we have for ourselves. This is the sinful nature of humans, which is self-centered. However, Jesus genuinely loves and treats us with the same selfless love that he has for himself, as evident from his sacrifice on the cross. How is the love where Jesus loves us as himself revealed on the cross? First, Jesus took upon himself the burden of all our sins, paid the penalty for them with his own body, and loved us until he shed his precious blood unto death. He became completely one with us and lived a righteous life of perfect obedience to God until he died in our place. In other words, Jesus never for a moment thought of himself and us as separate. He has done everything for us in our place and on our behalf, carrying our burdens as his. It's still like that now. He considers us as his own and loves us as himself. He tells us to love one another like Jesus did. This love is not just a love in words, but in deeds. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This kind of love is God's pleasing will, the love with which Jesus loved us, and the love he wants from us. We are told to live by knowing and enjoying the love of Jesus, and to testify and share the love of Jesus. He tells us to love not only with words, but with deeds and truth. In other words, like Jesus, we must live with the love of the cross, bearing our brother's burden as our own. This kind of love is what pleases God. It is the same love that Jesus showed us and wants from us. We are told to live by knowing and enjoying the love of Jesus, as well as sharing it with others. Jesus wants us to show our love through our deeds and with sincerity. In other words, we should live like Jesus. We must live the love of the cross and bear our brother's burden as our own. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the love of neighbors and brothers that Jesus commands us. All of his commandments testify to the love of the cross. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus teaches the commandment to love one's neighbor by sharing the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is well known to many of us. If you want to learn more about the love of the neighbor that Jesus commands, we can read this parable together. It's a bit long, but let's read it together. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." We cannot look at this parable of Jesus in detail today, but if we look at it briefly, Jesus tells us the essence of all the laws, teaches us the commandment to love our neighbors, and connects it with the gospel of the cross. There are 2 important things to consider in this parable. The first is, who was the one robbed? And the second is, who the true neighbor was. First of all, who was the one robbed here? In John chapter 10, Jesus refers to the false shepherds and their father, Satan the devil, as thieves or robbers, and says that the only reason a thief or robber comes is to steal, kill, and destroy. On the other hand, Jesus is the true shepherd who came with mercy so that his sheep might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says that he's a true shepherd who even sacrificed his life for his sheep. Through this, Jesus is revealing who the true neighbor is. Therefore, the one who was robbed in Jesus' parable can be seen as referring to all of us sinners. Adam, who fell into sin due to Satan's temptation, was deprived of everything. He was robbed and lost all the glory and privileges of God's Son, who was created in God's image. After the fall, due to sin, one loses the image of God of truth, holiness, and righteousness. One also loses a life, relationship, and fellowship with God. One's thoughts, heart, and life are all taken over by worldly desires, and one lives only under death and judgment. This is what Satan still does in sinners' lives. He takes everything away and causes you to lose everything good. At that time, who comes as our true neighbor, who has mercy on us sinners, loves us as himself, sacrifices everything to save us, restores everything that was lost and taken away, and allows us to enjoy it more abundantly? It is Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the true neighbor and the one who perfectly loves his neighbors. This is the love of the cross. So Jesus tells the scribe who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" that Jesus is the true neighbor who came to fulfill the commandment to love one's neighbor, and that by believing in Jesus, we can gain eternal life. And now, we, the saints who have been saved by the love of Jesus, are called to live as true neighbors like Jesus. To the question of who is my neighbor, the answer is ultimately that we should be true neighbors to our brothers like Jesus. This is the gospel. Dear saints, we have been saved to become true neighbors like Jesus and to love and live with the love of Jesus. And in the end, we will be made perfect through this love. We will live as true neighbors who resemble Jesus. In heaven, we will live in fellowship with one another like Jesus, with a love of completely sacrificing our lives for our brothers. So even now, we give even a glass of water to the smallest person, and we love and testify of Jesus not only with words and tongue, but also with deeds and sincerity. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.'" What we do to our brothers, we do to Jesus. Here we can see that the love for Jesus and love for brothers are connected as one commandment, just like love for God and love for neighbors. So if you love your brother, you love Jesus. And if you hate your brother, you hate Jesus. Can we live hating Jesus? If we can't do that, you can't live by hating your brothers either. Just as we must love Jesus, we must love our brothers. That is why we, the saints, who are gathered together as one family, brothers, and members of one body in the church, the body of Christ, love each other as we love Jesus, and live by revealing and testifying to the glory of Jesus and the glory of heaven, his eternal kingdom. The Bible says we are distinguished from worldly people through this love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. How does John say that the children of God and the children of Satan are distinguished? He speaks of faith that is evidenced by love, not simply a confession of belief with the lips. God's children love their brothers because they love God, but the devil's children do not love their brothers because they do not love God. Here, God's children and Satan's children are distinguished, and in the following verse, he gives the example of Cain. It is said that Cain was an evil man belonging to Satan, who hated God, and that he hated and killed his brother Abel, who loved God. It says, we cannot live like Cain as a child of Satan. The same thing is said in the book of James. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. James teaches that merely claiming to have faith without demonstrating it through loving deeds and sincerity is a lifeless faith, even comparable to the faith of the devil. On the contrary, those who have accepted the love of Jesus and therefore love him live differently. This is why Jesus commands us to live as people who have experienced his love and to love others through faith in the message of the cross. This involves both enjoying and witnessing to the love we have received from Jesus and God. We obey God's commandments not out of compulsion or reluctance, but with joy, eagerness, and strength. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The love we must have is seen here. God loved us first, and we experience and know his love through the cross, where he sacrificed his Son without holding back. As children who have received God's love, we must live as witnesses of that love. This love is only available to believers, those who belong to God and the people of heaven, and it is given by grace. We have nothing to boast about because our small and inadequate love is still tainted by sin. We do what is right and love because we are grateful for the immense love we have received. However, God joyfully accepts our love, no matter how small or insignificant. It makes us more like Jesus by his grace. Even if we love like Jesus, it is all by grace. Our ability to love our brothers is evidence that God loved us first. Without his love, we cannot bear any fruit. Therefore, we must hold on to this grace and strive to love our brothers even more. To do this, we must ask God to help us to know his love better. Jesus revealed God's love to us and taught us how to love God and our brothers. That is why he fulfilled all the laws. Jesus loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loved his neighbors as himself. He completed it all on the cross. If we do not know Jesus and the gospel of the cross, we cannot bear any fruit of love that pleases God. He unites us with Jesus, accepts us in Jesus, regenerates us with the life of Jesus, and makes us grow and perfects us in his image. Therefore, by believing in this, we must make every effort to testify the love of Jesus. Finally, let's look at the verses 33 and 34 of today's text. Mark chapter 12, verses 33 and 34. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Jesus has completed the work of salvation by shedding his own blood and has established God's eternal kingdom. The Old Testament sacrifices are no longer necessary. Jesus tells the scribes that the kingdom of heaven, which is characterized by love, has arrived. In heaven, our offering and worship will be to love God and to love our neighbors. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 through 16. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Looking toward heaven, the eternal city to which we belong, we are told to offer sacrifices of praise to God and good deeds towards our fellow human beings. In essence, we are encouraged to worship God and love not only him, but also our neighbors. This life is fleeting, and all things come to pass, but love endures. Therefore, our mission in life is to love. If we live our lives in love, we will share in the glory of the triune God, who is love itself. It was God who initiated this life, and he is still guiding us towards its completion. The book of Hebrews, we are blessed with these words of encouragement. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. By the grace of God, we will be perfected in all good works and live according to his will. Let us hold on to this grace willingly, with joy and freedom, and not out of obligation. Our actions should reflect our love for God and our neighbors, going beyond what is expected of us. Jesus demonstrated his love for us by going to the cross, and when we follow his example, we participate in his love. May the glory of Jesus be revealed through our love.